All right, well, it's good to see you this morning. Lots of stuff going to be cranking up, if it hadn't already cranked up for you guys already, but just as a friendly reminder that we're going to remind you about, probably 100, 150 times, is live nativities this week. All right, Wednesday and Thursday night, going to be up here. You see outside the fruit of the labor of Dusty and Anthony and Lamar out there already. They came over and built that on Friday, be adding some things to it. But, I think it's one of those things where we don't have another shot at telling people about it until next year. So be mindful of that over the next few days. As you think about people that you want to tell about, remind them about it, to come on out. And I haven't checked the weather. Does anybody know? I assume the weather is just going to kind of be this nice Christmas summer that we've been experiencing. But it's supposed to be kind of warm, though. I mean, not 62? Okay. Well, Daniel's going to be here. There may not be plenty. I'm going to pass this card around. Debbie, Pam, you want to say anything about Masako? This is Masako's birthday card. Do you want to say anything about that? Or?
It's her 81st birthday. Some of us have gotten together.
On Wednesday night, you're going to give her the... Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Okay. I know she'll be humbly surprised. She is such a faithful lady. So we're going to pass this card around, and you can probably give it back to Debbie whenever y'all are done, but make sure you guys sign it, too, up there, or somebody gets to sign it, okay? I got live nativity. Anything else you guys want to share about this morning that is going on? I talked to Brother Bob week four last. He didn't call me accidentally looking for a woman. I actually called him and talked to his brother, and he happened to be sitting there. He says he's doing very, very well and eating and enjoying it. So I think doing pretty good. So other than that, I don't really have anything for you this morning that I can think of that you need to know about. Gary is still not well. He's made it to the sofa. So I heard Mike telling earlier he was over at Mike's house, and Mike knew something was wrong when Gary wasn't eating. He said when he came in, there was a lot of food, and Gary didn't start eating. He didn't eat a lot, you said, right?
He didn't eat a lot, and everyone else was beaten to the one-liners. He wasn't himself. About 5 minutes later, he was out the door.
This morning with some of our people, by the way, I know last week we announced about J.C. Lewis putting up a Christmas tree and decorating it. Well, they got a Christmas tree, and the tweens have gone down there this morning to actually decorate it. So they're down there as we speak or on the way decorating a tree for Christmas for those gentlemen that are going to be there. And I really didn't ask Rick and Regina about this, but I'll go ahead and tell you about it. If any of you are interested, their life group and Mom and Dad and Kathy and I are planning on going down Christmas Day. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to take food with us and serve slash eat with the gentlemen that are staying there at J.C. Lewis. Not Grace House, actually J.C. Lewis. Christmas Day. Yeah, we're going to, I think Regina is talking around lunchtime. Don't know that for sure, but if any of you are interested to come and hang out, it's just a good time. So it's not just serving them. We're going to be family that day with them. And going to just hang out with them a little bit that day down at J.C. Lewis, okay? And you guys know there are tons of opportunities all year round, but they get amped up this time of year. So take advantage of them. Take advantage of them, okay? I was by the Baptist Center this week, and already they are starting to see a diminish in their food. So if you feel led to donate to the food pantry at Savannah Baptist Center, even though we had a great turnout for that, for our Thanksgiving service, it's already, they're already going through it quick. The line is long. The demand is high. So just wanted to mention that to you, okay? Well, I'm going to pray for us, and then I got a little video, and we'll share some thoughts together this morning. Father, bless you today. Lord, Father, forgive us when it was all about us all the time. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just turn our heads and desire to catch a glimpse of you. Father, thank you that you desire to be very close to us. And Lord, I thank you that you never give up on us. I thank you that, Lord, we are very blessed. And I'm asking you this morning to help us and throughout the day to be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, our culture and our society, when I'm out about it and I'm reading the news like you guys are, and you're just out in the chaos and the mayhem of this time of year, there's a lot that comes to mind when I see people's faces. And I was praying about what we're going to talk about this morning on Friday, is thinking about it, and one word came to mind. The word was disappointment. And I think one of the reasons why God wants us to talk about disappointment this morning is when we talk about being salt and light, you know, we all experience disappointments for various reasons in our lives. When we talk about being salt and light, how we go about responding to that and how we help others respond, I believe, is a powerful witness tool. And I don't know where you guys are this morning, but I know that you've been out in the world this past week and you've looked in the eyes of people that have either experienced disappointments recently, or they're afraid there's going to be a disappointment around the corner. They're disappointed in their relationship with God. They're disappointed in their relationship with family and friends. They're disappointed in jobs. They're disappointed because they can't find a job. They're disappointed because they want more finances and they can't figure out a way. There's a lot that goes into that. But this morning, I want to show us a little funny video from my favorite two guys, the Skit Guys. Okay? And so I know it's kind of a negative, we're going to be looking at disappointment, but it's part of the fabric of this world we live in. But I think we need to look at, can we turn it around and use it for the glory of God? Can we turn it around to find joy? Can we turn it around to be salt and light? Because the society that we live in is really struggling with being oppressed, depressed, suppressed. Is there some more press that we can come up with? Very few of them, though, are impressed. Okay? And that's a reality. But what concerns me is the church being different than the world that we live in. And so that's why I want to look at this morning. And I want you to be asking yourself, how am I handling, how have I handled the things that haven't gone my way? So, John, you cue up the video, I'll kill the lights, and...
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Taylor, hey, it's me, Trevor. I'm outside the concert, wondering where you're at. I think I'm in the right spot, and I think it's already started, and I was... Hello? Hello?
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Hey, your voicemail cut me off. So what I was saying was, I'm outside.
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Okay, I'll talk faster for whatever reason.
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Funniest thing, it keeps cutting me off. Gah!
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. You're killing me!
Hey, I'll talk really, really fast because for whatever reason, your little voicemail message thingy keeps cutting me off. Maybe it's because you have a cheap phone. Yeah, I said it. Hey, look, look, I see the writing on the wall. I am here, you invited me, and I'm standing out here like some dork waiting for you, huh? I got stood up by a buddy. What is that about? This is so you. This is so high school all over again. You get some more important friends, and me, I'm left like some chump. You have bad breath. Has anyone in your life ever told you that? It stinks, and you will not have me, Mr. Trevor, to kick around anymore. Do you hear me? No more, bro!
Mailbox is full.
Full of that.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm late. I tried to call you, but my phone's jacked up. Anyway, the reason I'm late is I ran into this guy who was selling his tickets. You're gonna love this, okay? Get this, box seats, all you can eat food, the best seats in the house. And the best part, my treat. I mean, think about it. You're my best buddy, right? I mean, what better way to say thank you than these?
Hang on, I was expecting a call. Just take a minute.
Oh, it's a message from you.
And another one. And another one.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but that little skit has probably come true in my life numerous times just from the fact of the voicemail part. Yeah, you're trying to get a hold of somebody, and you desire to just speak with them about something, and things don't come through like you desire them to. And basically, disappointment is in there amongst other emotions, all right? And it is comical to me about one thing about that little skit that they did is how he wouldn't give up. He was persistent. He was actually a pest because he was so frustrated. He was going to get his point across no matter what in that little skit about trying to get a hold of his friend and about those tickets. But there was disappointment in there. And so this morning I want us to look at a scripture, or it's actually three scriptures, but it's one together. Should be very familiar with this. Romans 5, 3 through 5 simply says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. John, go ahead and throw up the first question. As you see that scripture, is this letter to the Romans, when things don't go our way, we usually feel what and we usually do what? When we don't get our way, what do we usually do and what do we usually feel? Honestly, feel angry? Yeah, feelings of frustration.
Take it out on others.
Yeah, Dixie said take it out on others. And a lot of times for me, the others are innocent. Yeah. Then you need to come up here and go ahead and tell us what you've been doing. Because actually we're going to get to that. So you're going to save your answer to how you've avoided this. Well, what else, though? Because, you know, one of the things we rarely do, we don't examine why we do or feel a certain way. We just accept it. We go, oh, well, I got frustrated. I'm disappointed. Oh, well, I live in a fallen world. Well, you know something? I don't think that's good enough. I don't believe that's God enough. And so that first question for us is really an examination this morning. Why do we do what we do when we don't get our way? It's another way to phrase it. Selfishness? Are you just saying that as in, how are you saying that? What else? What else do we do and feel? How about how often do we give up? We just decide that we're going to dig in? Or how often do we, because I think we do this too. It isn't all negative. I think there are times where we turn to God, we turn to the body, turn to His Word. We say, hey, we got to start listening. Why do I know we do that? Because I know we practice the first part. I believe that. I think there are times where we feel hopeless, but then we stop and we say, wait a second, we've got some hope. What else comes to mind? Stephen at it said, Pam said, sometimes we blame other people and circumstances. And Stephen said, by sometimes she means most of the time. I agree. Amen. Amen. Because, hey, even though some of us are in later seasons of life, except for Katie, who's still in the young season of life, we've grown up in a culture that says that's okay. Coffee I spilled on myself at McDonald's, well, it was McDonald's' fault it was too hot. All right? And as part of that is back to the examination part is because I don't know about you guys, but I've been accused of being in a hurry. So the hot coffee that I spilled on at McDonald's had nothing to do with me being in a hurry. It couldn't have been. Couldn't have been my fault. No way. So we've grown up into a society that says, find somebody to blame and find them quickly. All right? What else comes to mind there? Last night, Kathy and I were at her office or her lab Christmas party, and the lady that was making the turkey was running way late. So the lady who was in charge of the party just simply said, hey, we're going to pray and eat anyway. You move on. Sometimes I think we do that. We just simply say, we have no turkey, which didn't disappoint me anyway, but we moved on. We moved on. John, go to number two, please. Now think about this for a moment. Do we see disappointment more as a destination or part of the journey? What does it say up there? We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for they know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Why? Because it will not lead to disappointment. So, do we see disappointment more as a destination or part of the journey? And why? Either one. We can get stuck there. What else? Yeah, just think about in that little skit, how quickly he went from having a best friend to calling him names. He had bad breath. Just all kinds of negative things he was saying about it. You know, because he lost control of the situation. What else? Do we see it as a journey? Destination? Because you see, you and I probably know a list of people that do see it as a destination. They gave up a long time ago trying. They gave up a long time ago saying, what's the use? Stephen? You know, you stole my thunder. I have a story like that at the end, but it's okay. I'm not going to give up. On a funny side of that about waiting is this. Kathy told me a story she was reading a few weeks ago where there was a gentleman. It was the end of the month, and he saw blue lights. He was an older gentleman. He had blue lights. He saw blue lights, and the policeman pulled him over, and the policeman said, I tell you what, I'm in a pretty good mood tonight. Now, supposedly, This was a true story, okay? I'm just telling you, as Kathy read it to me, it was a true story. It happened, I think, up in Massachusetts or somewhere up there. And the policeman said, I tell you what, I'm feeling pretty good tonight. If you can tell me one reason why I shouldn't write you a ticket, I'll give you a warning, let you go. And the gentleman said, well, 28 years or something like that. Like, had to tell him one he had never heard. The police officer said, if you can tell me something I've never heard as an excuse before, I'll give you a warning. And the gentleman said, how many years? About 28, 30 years. He said, about 28, 30 years ago, my wife ran off with a police officer and I was afraid you were the one bringing her back. So I'm just saying they told it for a true story, so I don't know if it was or not. And he did get off. He did give him a warning, though. So anyway, surely we digress, you know. John, go ahead and go to the next one. How do you find blessings in being disappointed? How do you find blessings in being disappointed? Will that be in someone, maybe yourself, situation? And let's be honest. We've been disappointed in God, all right? Let's don't fool ourselves this morning. We get disappointed in Him because He doesn't do what we want Him to do when we want it done, okay? So how do you find blessings in being disappointed? You know, the thing about that, Joel, is it's so quickly. We read those so easily, and it's just seconds. But yet, in the midst of it, it's so hard to remember that. How else do we find blessings in being disappointed? Is it on me?
Yeah.
Oh. How else do we find blessings in disappointment? As you think, I got a question for you to think about. See where it says our confident hope of salvation? How many times have you said to someone who's down and out, maybe it was the person in the mirror, and you said, but there's hope. But did you believe it? You said it, but do you believe it? Because I think it's hard to find a blessing in disappointment if you really don't believe there's hope. So how do you find a blessing in being disappointed? Well, I believe one of the things is you believe that is truth, even if it's difficult to accept some days. I believe you accept it as truth. John, go ahead and put the last one up. To handle disappointments better, how do we need to be different? You know, one thing I do is when I read that scripture, I think about the men and women. You think about the time in history that letter was written. You stop and think about that for a moment. That was first century. Those were first century Christians. And yes, we live in a very tough time in a lot of ways. But when you live with the threat that at any moment you could be thrown to the lions, literally, not spiritually, and you live with the threats that they live with day in and day out. And then there were probably some people, there were some believers that letter got around to, they were the only one. They were the only one. And they read that, we can rejoice. So to handle disappointment better, how do we need to be different? Well, I think one way is we're not in this alone, are we? You know, we're in this together. And that should bring you great comfort, especially when you are alone this week, especially when vehicles, work, wherever you are. I think something you need to think about is, wait a second, I am blessed, like Lynn's saying, and one of those blessings is, you know, by golly, I got a lot of people that are on my side. Maybe I need to look around to the left and to the right. How else can we handle disappointment better? Look at all the good words in those three scriptures. Look at all the encouragement, strength of character. And character strengthens our confidence. Salvation, we're talking about eternal matters. Love. And God filling us. Those are positive, those are encouraging words. Those are things that when we do look at someone and we say, you have this as a hope, we should say, and it's real. It's real. I am fully convinced that one of the reasons why we have so many people come by the live nativity is for some of the adults especially, I believe this, they just need to see somebody that's alive playing those parts. To not be on the mantle or not be in a show on TV. Just need to see. I need to see this and touch it if I can. And they just, you know, it's great to see the kids playing with all the animals, but the adults that need to see it and how powerful that can be. Especially because if you think about something for a second, there's nothing spoken next week on Wednesday and Thursday night. No one says anything. It's just a demonstration of hope. Of salvation. How else can we handle disappointments better? To be different. Well, although Stephen stole my thunder, I'm still going to read this true story. When I read it, you're going to realize why it's so interesting you told that story. Okay? Ruby Hamilton, a businesswoman in her 50s, was stunned at the loss of her husband of 32 years. Now, this is a true story in a car accident. Her anger and disappointment went deeper than a more typical expression of grief, though. See, she had become a follower of Christ in her late 20s, but her husband did not share her interest in spiritual matters. Nonetheless, she had set about praying for him feverishly and unceasingly that he would come to know the Lord. And one day, when she was praying, she felt a wave of peace just come over her, and that still, small voice assuring her that her husband would be okay. She awaited the day when her husband would surrender his life to Jesus. She felt such a peace. God was going to come through. And now this. What do you do when faith doesn't make sense? When God doesn't seem to be answering or opening doors or being found? Ruby Hamilton stopped living for God. What's the use? I prayed. God, you took him out. I'm done with you. Roger Simmons was hitchhiking his way home. He would never forget the day. It was May the 7th. His heavy suitcase was making him tired and was anxious to take off that Army uniform once and for all because he was retiring. He was hitchhiking, and along came a car. He had lost hope that anybody was going to pick him up when a new Cadillac came and stopped by. Opened the door, and he went up to the car. He put his suitcase in the Cadillac, and he thanked the gentleman, who was well-dressed. And he asked him, the driver asked, "Are you going home for keeps this time?" Because he could see the Army uniform. Roger replied, "I sure am." "Well, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago." "Not quite so far. But do you live in Chicago?" Roger asked. "Well, I have a business there," the gentleman driving the Cadillac said. "My name is Hamilton." They chatted for a while, and then Roger, a Christian, felt a compulsion to share his faith with this 50-ish, apparently successful businessman, but he kept putting it off. None of us have ever put that off. Till he realized that he was just 30 minutes from being home. It was now or never. "Minister Hamilton, I'd like to talk to you about something very important." Then he simply would say, "Mr. Hamilton, I'm going to tell you about the plan of salvation." And then he ultimately asked him if he would like to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. The Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road. Roger expected he was about to be thrown out of the car. Instead, the businessman bowed his head and received Christ, then thanked Roger. The businessman, Mr. Hamilton, said, "This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me." 5 years went by. Roger, the retired military gentleman, he got married, had some kids, had a business of his own. In fact, he was packing a suitcase for a trip to Chicago when he found a small white business card that had been given to him by a gentleman 5 years previous. In Chicago, he looked up Hamilton Enterprises. The receptionist told him that it was impossible to see Mr. Hamilton, but he could see Mrs. Hamilton. A little confused, he was ushered into a beautiful office where he found himself facing a woman in her 50s. She extended her hand. "You knew my husband?" Roger told her about how Hamilton, her husband, had picked him up when he was hitchhiking home after the war. "Can you tell me what day that was?" "Sure, it was May the 7th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the Army." "Anything special about that day?" she asked. He hesitated, not knowing if he should mention how he shared the message of Jesus with her husband. "Mrs. Hamilton, I explained the gospel to your husband that day. He pulled over to the side of the road and he wept and while steering the wheel. But he gave his life to Christ that day." The woman began to sob. Finally getting a grip on herself, she sobbed, "I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years, and I believed God would save him. So where is your husband, Ruby?" "Well, he's dead. He was in a car crash after you let him out, or after he let you out of his car. He never got home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise. I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought God had not kept his word." God does keep his word, just like the lady in Haiti. So often, how do we be different? Well, there's a lot to that, I think, but for me, I boil it down to this. I'm living for forever. And even though there are light and momentary troubles, they are still momentary troubles. Even when you lose loved ones, even when difficulties come. And I sometimes wonder if God doesn't look down from his throne at me and say, "Dane, if you just could see it from where I'm sitting." So think about these things, particularly when you look in the eyes of people who have lost hope this Christmas season. But ask yourself, do I really believe what I'm telling them? Do I trust it as truth, or is it just something I'm supposed to say? Father, we thank you today for you, your truth, your word. Father, I thank you. Lord, there are times where you probably shake your head and think, oh, if he could just get this. So Lord, I pray that we'd help get all of you during this Christmas season. Father, I'm asking you to put us in front of people that need the good news and will be faithful to share because we believe it, we love it, and we live it. Not because we have to, but because, Lord, it exudes from us. And help us to be mindful of that, Father. We bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen.